This is December 2nd, 2024, interview of Pamela Cooley by Peyton Legg for the Cooperstown Graduate Program's Research and Fieldwork course, recorded at East Worcester, New York. So, Pamela, do you mind telling me when and where you were born?
I was born in Sydney, New York, July 30th, 1945, at The Hospital. That was the name of it.
And can you tell me about your parents and your grandparents?
Yeah. I'll start with my mother's side of the family. And actually, I knew my great-grandmother. Grandma Gregory was my mom's mom. She lived in Morris and was very elderly when I knew her as a child. But I can remember us rehearsing Jesus Loves Me in the car on the way there, so me and my cousins could sing that to my great-grandma. So then, great-grandma Gregory, then her daughter was Grandma Lina. And Grandma Lina and Grandpa Claude lived in Mount Upton, New York, and that's where my mom grew up. Grandma Lina, in my memory, was a great cook. I look at her as my country grandmother, and my other grandmother as kind of my town grandmother, but they both had really good skills, domestic skills. My Grandma Lina was a great cook, but more of a country cook. She saved the bacon grease and made, used it to make cookies and stuff out of. But I remember when box mixes came to the scene, she really took to them, and I think it's because she'd been cooking her whole life and cooking for four kids and her husband when the kids were growing up, and I think she just looked at it as a break and maybe something modern that she could embrace. She's also a great seamstress and a really wonderful homemaker and a really warm and loving grandmother. And then I remember Grandpa Claude. He owned a general store in Mount Upton, and memories of that general store are really fond. He also, as time went on, sold that business and opened up an appliance business in Sydney, which is where he retired from. He was a gardener, had amazing vegetable gardens in the flat down by the river. He owned some land on the Unadilla River, and there was a boathouse and a pavilion and a really beautiful garden and docks and motorboats, and it was a really fun place for us kids to come when we were kids. There was always a refrigerator in the boathouse filled with soda for us. And he also got all these inner tubes and put our names on each one, so we all had our own inner tube to float down the river on. And Grandpa also was a really good carpenter. He made picnic tables for everybody, every daughter or son in the family. I used to love to go in the basement to his workbench and kind of work along with him, pounding nails into wood or whatever was going on. I really enjoyed doing that. My dad's mom and dad, Grandpa Henry and Grandma Grace, lived in Sydney in the house where my father and my uncle grew up, and very close, like about a block away from the jewelry store, which at my grandfather's time was second generation, but at this point it's fifth generation in Sydney in the same place in the same family. So that jewelry store has longevity for sure, Cooley's jewelry store. So my Grandpa Henry pretty much worked there until, I don't know, about a month before he passed away, and he was 97, I think. that was a real center of his life for his whole life. And his both of his sons, my dad and Uncle George, were there too. My Grandpa Henry, well, I was saying that I had country grandparents, and I figured that Grandma Grace and Grandpa Henry were kind of the town grandparents. Grandpa Henry got the Sunday Times every Sunday, ever since I can remember. He also was a real traveler. While my grandmother was alive, they go to Florida every winter, and they went to Mexico once. And then after my grandma passed away, he went to Norway and Barbados. He'd go down to Barbados every year for a while. So he really was a traveler as well as somebody who was focused on the business and the store. So then my Grandma Grace was a very, really elegant lady, and she had really, I think, fine taste. The house was appointed beautifully, and they're all, you know, the napkins at dinner were linen with embroidery, and really pretty sophisticated taste, I think she had. She was a great cook and baker. I can remember going up to her house Friday nights after school, staying all night, and then wake up in the morning, and we'd make cinnamon rolls. That was one of her specialties. But great pie baker, really good pies. And I love cooking along with her, as I did love cooking along with my Grandma Lina, too. I learned different skills from each, but really love cooking my whole life, and they nurtured that love for sure. My Grandma Grace bought me a set of tiny cooking dishes that I would get out and make tiny little cookies and things on them. And my Grandma Grace was also an incredible seamstress. She made a doll clothes for us, just fine, intricate, beautiful doll clothes, and also clothes for us. Even coats and snow pants and things like that. And my Grandma Grace also played piano, and I remember her. I would just go and kind of pick out tunes on the piano, and she just would sit there with a big smile on her face and really love it. There's one thing that I look back on and really think that it presaged my love for historic cooking, because in her living room was a kind of a little bas-relief, kind of like sculpture kind of thing, of two women in a kitchen sitting by the hearth, and the title of it was A Friendly Chat. And so what my grandmother would do was get it off the wall, and I'd sit in her lap, and she'd say, "What do you see in this picture?" And then I'd pick out, "Oh, that's a foot warmer," or "That's, you know, whatever." But she'd tell me what all the things were in the picture. And I really think that skill of looking at something and really looking into it and seeing all the different details kind of followed me through my whole life. And I still have that picture, I guess you'd call it, in the kitchen. And I think of her every time I look at it. So then my mom and dad, they met in the roller rink in Sydney. My mom lived in Mount Upton, of course. My dad lived in Sydney. They were married, probably 60 years by the time my dad died. And my mom was, when she graduated, she went to secretarial school, and when we were children, as soon as we both went to school, my mom went back to work. or went to work. And she worked 9 to 3 when we got out of school, so she'd be there when we were home. But she was a secretary in the office of the appliance store that my grandfather and my uncles both all ran. And so it was a family business for sure. But I look at her at that time as a real role model for me as I grew up, because none of my other friends' mothers worked at that point. I don't think I knew any, not my aunts. I didn't know anybody that, a woman that actually worked. And my mom did. And she would, after, probably about 20 years working as a secretary, she decided to go back and get her real estate license and transition to real estate, and became the first woman in Delaware County to get $1 million in sales. She was really, really, really successful. So through her whole life, I think that drive and that her ability to do what she set out to do and excel in it was really important to me to recognize that. She cooked and she sewed. I don't think she liked doing either very much, so I wound up doing a lot of the cooking and really enjoying it and following through. I remember when I was a teenager and she'd give us some money like before school started for the year. She said, give us some money and say, go to Binghamton and buy yourself a dress for school or something for school. And I'd always come back with fabric and patterns that she was expected to sew. But she almost made a joke of it, but I don't think she minded that much. And my dad, he was a real forager. I'm thinking of the characteristics that kind of got passed down to me. He was a hunter and a forager way before it was popular. And I remember him telling a story. He didn't like school at all. And when he tried to get out of going to school, he would go into the woods in springtime and pick ramps, like wild leeks, you know, and eat them raw, and then go to school. And the teacher told him he smelled so bad, he sent him home from school. That was the way he got out of going to school. He was a real trickster. I could tell you really funny things that he did. So he was a fisherman, a hunter, a forager. And he's also worked in the jewelry store. Went to school after he was in the Navy during World War II, and after he got out, he went to a trade school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that taught watch repair and engraving. And so he came back, and that was his specialty in the store. And watching him repair watches, he had to wear an eye loop and use tweezers with these tiny, tiny, tiny parts of a watch. And he'd sit over his bench working on watches. And he really was amazing that he was able to repair these watches with tiny, tiny little parts. But he also was an engraver and did beautiful engraving. He really had an artistic hand. And he learned that in Bowman Tech as well. He retired as soon as he could, and really enjoyed his retirement. And the whole thing that I think of when I think of Mom and Dad and what they really enjoyed camping. And ever since we were kids, we would go camping, and even when Mom was working, Dad was retired, they'd have a trailer. They'd live on the river in the trailer all summer and camp that way. And up until about a year before my dad died, they were camping every single summer. They'd go to Florida in the winter and then come up and camp in the summer. They really, really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Can you tell me about your educational career?
I went to elementary school at the Pleasant Street School in Sydney. And then there was a junior high school across the street. And then the senior high was up on the hill in Sydney. And I graduated in 63. And so I went to my guidance counselor and said, well, there's one story before that. My guidance counselor was kind of, anyways. So I went to my guidance counselor once and I said, I want to take shop because of the experience I had with my grandfather and really enjoying putting things together, making things. I love to make things. I always have. And the guidance counselor said, well, girls don't take shop. We can't let you take shop. Okay, so then I went to her as a guidance counselor when I was preparing to go to school, to college. And I said, I want to do something with food and cooking. And the only thing she could think of was that I go to be a home ec teacher. So I applied and got into SUNY SUCO, which is now called SUNY Oneonta, and went the first year as a home ec student and enjoyed the heck out of the cooking things that I took, cooking classes, but I didn't like most of the other things that were involved. One of them was childcare, I think, where we had to learn about babies, and that was not of interest to me at all at that point. And the more I thought of it, this isn't for me. I don't want to teach, for one, I'm not interested in 3/4 of the things I would have to teach if I did teach. So I had this English teacher. One of the requirements was creative writing. And so I was talking to my professor in creative writing and telling her about this. And she said, well, I really think you are a good writer and probably should, if you're interested, change to liberal arts English lit. So, that sounded a lot better to me. So I graduated with a degree in English lit. And then time went on and I had a job after college at the Graduate School of Design Library at Harvard. And at one point, after I'd been there for 5 years, I had this opportunity, along with the man I was at that point married to come back to Sydney and live in a house that had been abandoned but was on the route where I-88 was going to go through. And my uncle and some people in Sydney, other businessmen, had bought up that house and some other land, so they were figuring they could make money on it once the state or the federal government, I don't know which it was, would pay them for the land. And this house had been abandoned, and the group of men said, well, if there was somebody living in that house, we could get more money for it. So my uncle called them and said, do you want to come back and live in that house, fix it up, you can live in it for free, and then, you know, fix it up so we can live it, you can live in it, and then once I-88 goes through, then you have to move. And that was a great idea, except at the same time, I was offered by the people at the Graduate School Design Library to go to Simmons, which is a library school, to get my graduate degree in library science and continue working, and they'd pay my tuition. So it was a question of what should I do. So I decided to come back upstate and kind of, it's back to the land days, kind of the hippie days, so I did that. And so time passed. And I was working at the Upper Catskill Community Council of the Arts as a director. And I'd been there, I don't know, 15, 16 years. And all of a sudden I got fired. And I'm not sure to this day why, except they said they wanted to take the organization in another direction. But in 2 years, the organization didn't even exist anymore. But anyways, that wasn't my problem. So they said, well, would you, we're letting you go, but wouldn't it be better if you said you resigned? Because then you wouldn't be embarrassed. It wouldn't be so embarrassing. And I said, I don't want to resign. I want to keep working here. I think I've done a good job and I'd like to continue. And so it went that I was fired. And so then I went to get unemployment, and the guy told me that if I had resigned, I wouldn't have been able to get unemployment. And that was the reason they were trying to get me to resign. So I was on unemployment for a year and looking for another job as a arts administrator, which was pretty difficult in this region. So after a year, I went in for my last interview with my counselor, ready to say thank you very much, you know, goodbye, you were really helpful. And he said, well, we've come up with this program for you. If you go back and get a graduate degree in something that's an employable occupation, we will give you unemployment for another year and you don't have to look for a job. And then he said, well, what? I said, oh, well, what should I do? What I'm wondering what I would do. And then I told him the story about my uncle and coming here and not taking that other road into Simmons library program and getting my degree. And he said, well, that's your answer then. You know, you can find out what it would be like to do something that you originally didn't think you could do. So I said, well, but I'm going to be 60 when I retire. And he said, well, you'll be 60 anyways, no matter what. And so I went to graduate school at really quick turnaround. I went to graduate school at SUNY Albany and got my degree in actually archives and records management. I thought I would just be a public librarian and would be able to get a job in the area. But then first semester, I took this survey course of all the different fields that somebody with this degree could go into. And one of the areas was archives, and I immediately knew that was for me. So I got my degree in archives and records management, I think was the name of it. The degree name kept changing, but I think that's what I graduated in.
Very nice. Could you tell me what some of your favorite cooking classes were at SUNY Oneonta?
Well, there was only one in that first year, but it was an excellent class, and we really did like pie crust and cakes and I think it was, come to think of it, I don't remember too many like meals. It was mostly baking, but the one thing I remember most was at Christmas time we made these like Whitman samplers, like when you get those boxes of chocolates with all the different flavors covered, like marshmallow covered and all that. We made a whole box of those, and we made chocolate covered cherries and chocolate covered marshmallows, and we made like the marshmallows too, and then covered everything with chocolate. I have never done that again, but it was a real eye-opener that you could actually do that kind of stuff. So yes, so there's only one class in high school, right up until I graduated, when everybody else who was college bound wasn't taking home ec. I was taking every cooking class I could right up until the end. So with Miss Spencer, I remember her, so that I got to cook pretty much every year in high school, when it was really unusual to take like shop or home ec, those more skill based than classes in high school. But I always wanted to cook.
And can you describe for me a class that you felt really impacted you during graduate school?
Well, the one I was telling you about was that survey class, which opened up a whole new view on what could be done with that kind of a degree. That was my first semester. Other ones, I really like visual resource management, and wound up doing an assistantship with the professor who taught that. It was when visual resources online were just starting to be something that people were trying out. And so learning about it at that level was really great. And I went on, in my job, I went on to make workshops workshops and PowerPoint presentations about visual resource management. And thought that would be the area I'd go into, but it didn't turn out that way, but that's okay. I really love what I was doing anyways.
You mentioned that you really enjoy making things.
My Instagram handle is She Likes to Make Things.
Oh, oh, that's perfect. I know you mentioned some things that you enjoy making. Is there anything else that you feel like is something you really like doing hands-on activity for, with cooking?
Oh, yeah. You name it. I mean, you see my studio. It's mostly what I do in my studio is sewing and paper, working with paper, making, I don't know, I'm just thinking May baskets and greeting cards and cut paper, like collages, things like that. If I'm thinking of something that I need or want, the first thing that comes to mind is how can I make it, rather than how can I go out and buy it. So, like for Christmas, I'm making my sister this quilt out of. She wanted me to make her a dress out of this material, and so I got it pretty much put together, and I went for a fitting, and it was too small. And then there was nothing I could do. She gave me a pattern and told me the size, and I cut it to size, but it was too small, so there's nothing I could do. So I decided to take it apart and sew it together kind of as a quilt. So I'm going to give her that for Christmas. But it's just, that's the way my mind works. And like food, I always make from scratch. I hardly ever buy processed food or mixes and stuff like that. Garden, I have a garden and a canoe out back, or vegetable garden, I have a whole flower garden. I always make my own Christmas cards. This year I'm going to make embossed paper cards with some Springerly molds that I got, and put paper in the mold and it comes out as like the mold, and then it's just everything in my library. I have like probably four shelves of how to do it books from all different eras, like the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. And if I want to make something, I just look it up and figure out how to make it. I was involved with vintage clothing for a long time, and I have a lot of leftover stuff for that. I have all these really wonderful cotton tablecloths from like the 30s and 40s print ones. I wound up making aprons out of them, crossback aprons out of them for presents. Just whatever. Mittens, I don't know, I don't have any. I make mittens and other winter apparel out of felted sweaters and line the mittens with cashmere. Perfect. Whatever. I just always am.